What's News? I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal. In a moment, we'll talk with The Wall Street Journal's Eric Morath about the hottest U.S. job market in nearly 50 years. First, here are some headlines. Sources say Amazon.com is expanding its reach into the grocery business with plans to open dozens of grocery stores in several major U.S. cities. The company reportedly plans to open its first grocery store in Los Angeles as early as the end of the year. Amazon has already signed leases for at least two other grocery locations with openings planned for early next year. The new stores would be distinct from Amazon's upscale Whole Foods brand, though it's unclear whether the new grocery chain would carry the Amazon name. The Wall Street Journal says that while Amazon has already signed leases, that doesn't guarantee it will open the grocery stores. Ride-hailing company Lyft made its IPO documentation public Friday, triggering what's expected to be one of the biggest years for tech IPOs ever. The filing sets Lyft up to begin trading in late March and to start its so-called roadshow to pitch the business to investors in the next several weeks. Among the revelations in the filing, Lyft posted revenue last year of $2.16 billion, up from just over $1 billion in 2017. Lyft's net loss, meanwhile, expanded to $911 million from $690 million. Lyft stock will trade on the NASDAQ stock market. The list of Democratic presidential candidates for 2020 is long and getting even longer. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee said Friday he will seek the Democratic presidential nomination with a campaign focused on addressing climate change. Mr. Inslee is the 13th Democrat to declare a 2020 campaign. Among others who might soon announce they're running for president, former Vice President Joe Biden and former Texas Congressman Democrat Beto O'Rourke. Tesla said it would begin shutting stores and move to selling vehicles only over the internet. It's an extraordinary step aimed at cutting costs so the company can offer its Model 3 Compact at a long-awaited starting price of $35,000. It also comes as Tesla faces a record $920 million convertible bond payment, delivery of which will eat up nearly a quarter of its available cash. Still ahead, we explore the hot U.S. job market. For most of the past decade, the strongest part of the U.S. economy has been the job market. The economy has added jobs for 100 straight months, and the jobless rate recently fell to its lowest level in nearly half a century. Workers are scarce in both low-skill and high-skill jobs, putting upward pressure on wages as employers struggle to fill positions. The Wall Street Journal is out with a special report, Inside the Hottest U.S. Job Market in Half a Century, which you can find at WSJ.com. Joining us now from Washington is Eric Morath, labor economics and policy reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Eric, you write that all sorts of people who have previously had trouble landing a job are now finding work. Is that the primary reason the labor market has been so hot for so long?
Well, it's definitely the change that's resulted in this long period of employment growth and extremely low unemployment rate. That the folks that had been left behind, especially in the last recession, but even more generally since the 1960s, are now finding jobs. Those are people that don't even have high school diplomas, people maybe that have criminal backgrounds, people that have maybe have been stuck or in and out of low-wage jobs. They're finding jobs, and in many cases, they're finding raises. So that's been the difference. When we started this streak of 100 months, who was doing well? They're still doing well. They're talking about people in high-tech fields, people with advanced degrees, people that live in growing cities. Those folks are still doing well, but who's joined the party is some of these folks that have been left behind in the past.
Why exactly is it a job seeker's market right now? Is it because business is booming?
Well, business is doing pretty well. I think it's more about a longevity than a boom per se. It's just that we've had a continuous streak of a decade of economic expansion. And so employers have had to keep adding workers. At the same time, demographic changes and just a slower growing population in the United States means, unlike the 50s, 60s, and into the 80s, where you had, you know, new generations growing larger and larger, we're not seeing that same pace of growth. And that means in some cases, employers are challenged to find workers.
Is it accurate to say that these low levels of unemployment are shifting power to job seekers and prompting businesses to expand their job searches and train applicants who might not be totally qualified?
Yeah, I think that's, for the most part, accurate. It's a slow shift, though. You know, I don't think, and this is one of the articles in this package, just talks about, you know, is this the time to ask for a raise? Well, if you can deliver better performance, absolutely. But if you can't, maybe not. Yes, I definitely say on the training, that's a thing that businesses are finally coming around to. They'd for a long time basically been spoiled by this recession. You know, those stories of the college educated worker serving up coffees at Starbucks, you could easily find somebody in the field that you wanted that was well trained, that was happy to take your job offering $20 an hour from a minimum wage type job. That's changed.
Is low joblessness really helping to bid up wages? I get the feeling wages haven't really grown at an annual pace by that much.
So wage growth is up about 3%, a little better than 3% from a year earlier. And that's the best growth rate in 9 years or so. It's not as strong as previous periods of very low unemployment rates. In the 90s and the 60s, when unemployment was similarly low, wages were growing faster. Now, key caveat there is, well, prices were also growing faster, especially in the 1960s. And ultimately, that's kind of what was the undoing of that expansion, that inflation got so high and the Fed had to ratchet up rates. It wasn't sustainable. So the hope here, and we talked about this with former Fed Chair Janet Yellen, is that this could be more sustainable because we're still seeing pretty low levels of inflation. So you're getting a 3% raise, but you're getting to keep 2% of that as opposed to having it all wiped away by higher prices.
Is this job growth sort of barbell shaped? You know, some of the biggest job growth is in low skill positions and also high skill positions. As far as low skill positions, you know, these are jobs that require at most a high school diploma.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, some of the fastest growing industries are the lowest paying industries. Home healthcare workers, for example, is one. Fast food workers is an industry we're expecting to add hundreds of thousands of jobs. Janitorial services, things like that. So there's job opportunities out there. Those jobs are paying somewhat better than they paid in the past, but you're not getting rich on those jobs. And the high end, as we said, is doing well. In the middle, though, that's where people still haven't seen the growth that we had in the past, and then we never. One spot we pointed out was clerical workers. That was a middle-class job in the 1970s. Now it's almost completely been automated away by spreadsheets and computers, answering services on the telephone. There's no reason to have really like a mid-skill person in that receptionist role, per se.
Eric, talk about the risks facing a strong job market. It's strong now, but there could be a lot of pain if there's eventually a recession that's been forecast by at least a few economists.
Yeah, that's right. So two factors. One is, you know, this is sort of the moment if you're in the low skill rung. If you can move up and you can plant yourself and get some training and kind of get yourself more established, you know, you could really benefit. If you're sort of just on the edge and you're dependent on, you know, consumers buying services and goods and you could be the first one laid off, you know, you might be in a bad spot again in a year or two if things turn sour. The other factor is automation, technology, artificial intelligence. Those things are coming in a big way. And if you don't have advanced skills, you're going to be more easily displaced by those technologies. And one of the economists we talked to from MIT said the recession, not the expansion, but the recession will be the time where businesses deploy those cost-saving technologies.
Who's being left behind in this booming job market? People who live in rural areas of the country?
Yeah, that's certainly the one spot. I mean, the unemployment rate has fallen across the country, but it's about a half percentage point higher in rural areas. So they're not seeing the same sort of benefit. And then I talked to some workers and they said, you know, there's also not the same opportunities. If you have some technical skills, if there's no one hiring, you know, software developers in the central Pennsylvania, then, you know, that technical skill doesn't pay off. So it's really up to you. Are you willing to at least move to Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or even to Silicon Valley to take advantage of this booming job market?
But again, the good news is that this long streak of low joblessness could last for a while.
Well, I mean, that's what we're debating with economists is could this last longer? I mean, the idea that this would end because the Federal Reserve ratchets up interest rates as they have in the past doesn't seem as likely because the Federal Reserve has sort of signaled they're not going to be ratcheting up interest rates. But there's a lot of other risk factors out the economy, which we've talked about in the past, whether it's trade disputes or how things play out in Washington. So there's other factors beyond that, you know, could end this expansion, but certainly it's a good time now in the labor market.
And you can check out our special series of reports, How America Works, at WSJ.com. Eric Morath, labor economics and policy reporter for The Wall Street Journal, thanks a lot.
Sure, happy to join you.
And that's What's News. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for The Wall Street Journal.